You're listening to Midwest Vegan Radio.
We're sharing all our secrets.
We're sharing all of our secrets just for you special listeners.
With your hosts, Dallas.
That sounds so good.
And Ryan.
Pass the noosh.
Hey guys,
Welcome back.
And we have a friend.
We do have a friend.
Hi.
Should we start at the beginning?
Okay.
Episode 14.
Yep.
Do we have anything that rhymes with teen this time?
Something about clean.
Vegans' digestive tracts are clean.
Because we have a lot of fiber.
Right.
So welcome to episode 14. So, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff that has to do with the body today. So
yeah, we sure
are. That's a good setting up.
Okay.
So
who are you?
I'm Dallas.
Elliot's over there.
Hello.
And we have our super special friend, Holly Harl, with us. And she's going to talk about things related to vegan pregnancy, etc.
Yep. Because, in fact, she's pregnant right now.
She is.
I am.
We just announced that live. Was there anybody you didn't want to know?
No, everyone knows.
Okay. Because you're showing quite a bit.
Yeah,
it's on your teeny tiny little frame. So.
Yeah. All right. And you've been pregnant before?
Yes.
So yeah, you've had the whole spectrum?
Mm-hmm.
Spectrum and a third or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll talk about today. Shout outs?
Let's wait on those.
Okay.
I've got a couple. We'll wait. I think we'll wait until the end to get all those in.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, then we can just dive into vegan pregnancy.
Do less.
So just, you know, if you are squeamish or uncomfortable or
pregnancy phobic.
Horrified.
Including Dallas. Including Dallas.
Yeah, this is actually pretty brave. Well, no, it's not really brave of me. I'm not going to catch it from Holly.
You're not
going to
catch pregnancy.
But yeah.
Holly just made a gesture that she's going to lick Dallas's face. This is when we need to have video podcasting.
Exactly. But yeah, so if you're not really into this topic and in fact you don't really want to spend an hour of your life listening to this, then just don't. And that's okay.
Unless you want to hear the other interesting things that we say or all of the stupid things that I might say that could come up anytime throughout the show.
Yeah.
It will be interesting regardless. Most people, I would say, want to have children at some point or have them. So I think that people that don't are kind of the anomaly. Clearly, our world is full of people having children. So yeah. I'd say most people do choose to have children or
we should also talk about that in another episode.
Okay.
To have a balance, like, you know, if we can talk about having children and we can talk about not having children.
I think it's perfectly appropriate to talk about people not wanting to have children. I don't think that's weird at all.
Okay.
I mean, Holly, you're not even remotely offended by that, are you?
Oh, no, not at all.
No.
Part of our, I don't know if I want to get into that on the air. Husband, I'm talking about our planning, our family planning.
Yeah.
Part of it is we're talking about only having two children because of the effect on population and then adopting or fostering after that.
Yep. And some people don't want to do it at all. I didn't want to do it at all for many, many, many years because, not because I don't necessarily want to raise children, but because pregnancy, like the idea of giving birth, like makes me want to kill myself.
Oh.
It's really, really scary to me.
Yeah.
To, like, have your store open and a bunch of people digging around down there and... Yikes.
I don't like that. I would freak out the minute I felt anything in my body moving around.
Yeah.
That would just... Oh, that'd be pretty terrifying. So... I mean, there's a lot of things to it, but that's just... It's like you have an alien in you.
Or a sea monkey.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Chelsea had named her sea monkey Toshi before they actually named their child.
Okay, well, so what are the things that people need to know about vegan pregnancy? I guess the thing that really strikes me about pregnancy in general, and especially about vegan pregnancy, just as an outsider, hearing things, and, you know, I'm kind of a... I'm an obvious resource for people who are vegan or curious about it. And people will ask me all the time, like say, oh, my mother doesn't, you know, they don't want me to be vegan during the pregnancy. They think that I'm going to hurt the baby. Mm-hmm. You know, suddenly, like, your body isn't, your choices, they do affect another person, but they're still your choices to make, right, is my assertion on that.
And so I imagine that the whole, like, everybody, when they find out that you're vegan, is suddenly a dietitian.
Mm-hmm.
Probably is ramped up when you're pregnant and everybody thinks that they know best.
Oh, yeah.
So have you gotten a lot of that?
Not thus far, but I did with my last pregnancy, from my daughter's parents,
mm-hmm.
my daughter's father's parents, my daughter's parents. I actually was vegan for the first part of my pregnancy and then kind of caved into the pressure mm-hmm. from them and went back to eating eggs and dairy. And it was a really stupid decision.
Yeah.
But they were also very pro pie and ice cream.
yeah.
The baby needs pie. I got that a lot. I don't I don't like pie. I just don't really like pie. The baby needs pie. You need to eat pie.
Uh-huh. What?
They thought I was trying to, like, starve myself or deprive myself of sweets. I just don't really like it that much.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That really is up there with the stupidity and, like, in terms of what I can imagine people saying. Wow.
So would you say, because I think that we hear from people that... That happens. We saw that happen mm-hmm. with Natalie Portman. Would you say that this time around you're not worried about that because you have such a support group now and so many of your friends are vegan and it's just kind of like you don't have to worry about it?
Oh, yeah. I also saw how I went from gaining weight at a healthy rate, and when I added dairy back in, I ended up gaining a very unhealthy 60 pounds with her.
Wow!
Which, on me, starting at about 107 at the beginning was way
That's
too
kind
much.
Of a lot.
Yeah.
Because babies don't weigh 60 pounds.
Yeah, no,
although
they don't.
I don't know. Don't send me angry emails about how much people are supposed to weigh. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I imagine 60 pounds is on somebody that your height is
for
probably
me, it was
not...
supposed to be 35 pounds. So I
almost doubled
over.
That.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez.
Yep. And I wasn't even eating that much. It was just dairy came back in and.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
How did that. Did it make you feel better or worse? Or?
Awful. It made me feel awful. It was, I mean, I think it related to, I started to get high blood pressure towards the end, and I was really swollen, and I didn't really want to move around. Yeah, it was not, I did it to ease other people's fears, and which is never a good reason to do anything.
Yeah, that's so, good word on that.
Yeah. Do you have any kind of good resources maybe for people that don't necessarily have the support that you do, or what, I guess if you were committed to veganism mm-hmm. now, but didn't necessarily have all the friends that you do that are vegan, what would you tell people, or what would you say in response to people? If I was like, oh my God, Harley, you're Holly. Did I just call you Harley?
Yeah.
I did. Okay. That's your name from now on.
Harley.
Okay. Harley. What would you tell people if I was like, Harley, you're killing your baby. You have to eat meat. You're not getting enough protein for your baby. What would you say?
I'd say my baby gets plenty of protein.
And you just tell him to stuff it?
Yeah, pretty much. The thing that I always use, and this might not be a very good example, is I say, if crackheads can have healthy babies, then I can have a healthy baby too. Yeah. Which usually just gets people to shut up. It's not a good argument logically, but people usually leave me alone after that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
That's crazy. So, what are you planning to do then? I assume you're going to breastfeed just because of what I know about you, and you're planning to do like a home birth and you're more natural.
Yeah.
But I assume you would use soy then instead if you needed to, or not soy? Or?
My plan is that I'm planning on breastfeeding, which I think with kind of what I know now, and I've been through some doula training and I have a lot better resources and support group that I think will go really well. If for some reason that's not working out, there's a great organization. It's kind of countrywide, but I know there's a local one called Eats on Feets.
Oh.
That helps set you up with milk sharing.
Oh,
Either through kind of like milk banking or even through other women helping to nurse your baby for you.
Okay, I was thinking of the La Leche.
Yeah, La Leche League. Yep.
My two thoughts about that are, one, it can be extremely cost prohibitive. I know that having worked at a birth center for like mm-hmm. a minute. And two, what if the mother's not vegan?
There's a big from what I know of the mothers in the Twin Cities, that I think finding
a so vegan you mother would, is not going to be. You would not go that route if the mother were not vegan?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
The other thing, too, that I was poking around, and at least as of a couple years ago, because somebody was looking for a vegan formula, even the soy formulas are not completely vegan, from what I read on some message boards trying to prepare for this episode.
Yeah.
So, do you know about that?
I don't really know a lot about it. I know from, because I ended up using some soy formula with my daughter. The one that I found, I can't remember the brand name now for the life of me, but I got it at, I think at one of our co-ops. It was an organic soy formula, and it was pretty basic.
And is your daughter a lesbian?
No, she's not.
Okay, because soy makes you gay.
Yeah.
Well, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, well.
But that's... Scientifically, has been proven that soy.
Well, it's actually kind of a disappointment to my husband. He was kind of hoping she would be.
Well, she is like three.
Yeah. Well,
so there's still hope.
She's talked about wanting to go over and give boys hugs, and she said, "Mommy, I like boys." I'm like, "Okay,
well, that's too bad."
Yeah.
She could always be bi.
Yeah.
There's still hope.
Yeah. Okay.
Just so keep feeding her the soy.
She's actually having tofu for dinner tonight, so.
Nice.
Yep.
So, okay. Breastfeeding should work out. What about, what else is there to say about vegan pregnancy? I mean, in general, about advice to people. Finding a supportive doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Or a prenatal person. What about that?
Is that just a matter of doing your research?
Yeah, do your research. There's some message boards online. I think mothering.com. is a really good place to look. There's a pretty strong vegan community on there, and you can find kind of in the Find Your Tribe area, there's different areas for where you live in the Midwest, and you can find people's recommendations of doctors and OBs and midwives, and they'll talk about their experiences.
Do you spend a lot of time on parenting boards?
That one I do.
Again, my friend Chelsea said that she has a really hard time with some of those because people just say the rudest things those boards. And that relates to what we talked about last time about, like, don't read the comments. And people just say unbelievably rude things.
Yeah, Mothering has a very specific and strict terms of service that you, if anything you say is even remotely insulting, you get told off. And then they'll just shut down the whole thread if it gets bad.
But, you know, I think people, I don't want to digress too much. It's related to parenting still. I'm going to... Again, talk about my cousin Chell, who's amazing, and she unschools her son. And she has friends that give her crap about it all the time.
Unschools instead of homeschool?
Yeah. I mean, it's at home, but I think that with homeschool, there's a component, I could be wrong, and correct me, radio friends, if I'm wrong. But I think with homeschooling, there might be a more structured component to it. With unschooling, it's like whatever he feels like learning about that day, he does. And there is, stuff to help people do that and kind of like curriculum idea type stuff, I believe. But people give her a hard time about it all the time. And I'm like, oh my God, people don't have your lifestyle. She works from home. They have many, many acres of land. They live in the middle of nowhere. Both her and her husband work from home. Like they own a business. So they don't really have to like get their kid up to it. Plus they had lots of problems with their school system, with their adult son, which is a different issue, but they didn't really have any other school options, and so when she decided to unschool, she got a lot of flack for it, and I think she still does. He's like 11 or 12, and
does he like stare at the wall and drool on himself or anything?
No, okay, he's actually a really, really interesting kid, and he's really awesome.
Okay.
And I'm so jealous.
When he sees other people, does he like curl up into a ball and...
No, okay. He's extremely social and he loves talking with adults.
All right.
So because they have a business where people come to their home, he ends up socializing with people all the time and other kids in the area. So it's not really an issue for them, but it's just so funny to me that people have such strong opinions when they don't have, I mean, most people don't have that kind of lifestyle. Most people don't work from home. Both partners work from home, have many acres of land where they actually have, like, in my apartment, I probably wouldn't be in a position to teach my kid about frogs. Like, where am I going to find frogs in my apartment parking lot? Probably nowhere. But, like, they have land and they have water on their land and they have wild animals and all sorts of stuff so that he can, you know, be outside and be doing sciencey stuff. And But it just drives me nuts for her that people just will say the rudest things because that's not their lifestyle. They don't understand it. So there. So there's my 2 cents.
Oh, so that retracing our steps, this has to do with message boards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just things that other people say about your lifestyle choices.
Yeah. I'll tell people, if you're a new mom and you're looking for a place to go and you want to avoid drama, don't go to Cafe Mom. I'm sorry if there's anybody out there that really likes Cafe Mom, but it's just a bunch of people, mothers with nothing better to do than to sit around and bully each other. And
criticize one another. Yeah,
Sounds like a good time.
Oh, yeah. I've been called ugly and that I look like a bull because of my septum ring on there before. Oh, for no reason.
You look like a bull.
Yeah. They were hazing someone in a new group or something, so they're supposed to go around and make fun of people on boards. And yeah.
Wow.
It was like high school, but
worse. Those are some values to instill in your children right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for warning people.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I just wanted to make a quick plug. I know in the Twin Cities, there's a program that the Animal Rights Coalition runs, and it's called Vegkins, and it's for parents who are raising their kids vegan or vegetarian. And it's pretty self, you know, like they get together and have play dates and stuff. And there's a Facebook page that is Vegkins, and frequently, you know, there'll be somebody that say, hey, does anybody have a recommendation for an OBGYN or, you know, I'm looking for a vegan nanny or, what was something else I've seen? Oh, you know, do you want to do play dates? That kind of stuff. And so that might, but it, I mean, that's, it's not, it doesn't have to be just here. It can also be for anybody. I think that there's a lot of people
that's
there.
Good.
So, but people can create that in their own communities too, mm-hmm. pretty easily. So, and the kids, like, there's a Halloween party every year for the kids where they can have all the candy that they get instead of, like, going trick-or-treating and then having to decide what's going to happen with all the non-vegan candy, you know, all that kind of stuff, just being around other kids where they're all eating the same thing, and it's not like, you know, this one has a different thing again. Yeah. So, it's kind of neat.
Our friend Leslie in France can start up her own group.
Yes.
If she needs to over in France. That actually brings up a good point. Babysitting or babysitters, do you, like, I imagine you don't have that issue a whole lot because...
Yeah, we're kind of weird.
Well, but also that you you are at home most of the time.
Yeah,
and so
I am.
You probably don't need a sitter all the time, but when your beloved isn't home and when you need somebody, like, do you have somebody?
We do. We actually have... a girl who's turned out to be a really good friend of ours, who she hasn't babysat in a while because she's been in Norway for a couple of months.
What the hell?
But, yeah. She was...
What's she thinking?
Doing school and stuff, yeah. But, she's amazing. And I actually found her on Craigslist. I posted an ad about looking for someone to do part-time babysitting and possibly a little nannying work. And I was very, very specific about everything that you have to deal with, you know. You have to be comfortable with cats because of how many cats we have. And
37.
Yep.
You are cat lovers.
And, then I'm very adamant I wouldn't want anybody coming in that can't respect, you know, how we raise her. And found actually quite a few people. I had quite a few really good people to choose from.
Wow. And you do, like, basic criminal background checks.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Just looking them up in the court system. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And I find that on Craigslist, if you're looking for babysitters, if you... don't put that in your original post, but as soon as people email you, ask them or tell them that they must be willing to submit to a background check. Then if they don't email you back,
creepy.
That's a pretty good indicator. Yeah, pretty much everybody that said, oh, yeah, I totally will, they had nothing to hide. So.
Yeah.
Did you run into that where people...
I had a couple people that didn't email me back once I said that. It was probably minor stuff, but, you know, it's...
Drug felony possession or something.
Well,
yikes.
I'm super picky about who stays with my dogs.
Yes, you are.
Like,
and I, like, I'm not even really comfortable if I'm on a walk with somebody having, like, another person that isn't Brandon or one of my vetted people hold a leash with me right there. Like, that's how I am so, like, maybe they'll tug too hard and hurt their neck or something, yeah.
Would you let me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I would let you. But I'm extremely, I can't even imagine, like, I don't know. That's just...
Yeah. Well, that's part of the reason I stay home. Well, part. A small part of the reason. I'm paranoid and I really don't trust people.
My mom, she told... My mom ran a daycare for a long time, but she sent me to a daycare for a little bit. I don't remember why exactly. But anyway, she had me at a different daycare. And she said that the very first day she left me there just for a couple hours, my mom just went down the street and watched. She watched, like, she watched us go to the park. She watched, like, how things went in the yard. And after that day, she was comfortable leaving me. But I think it's probably, like, inborn that I'm that paranoid. Yeah.
You know what, though?
And, like, crazily overprotective.
I actually don't, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Again, my cousin, her first son was born extremely premature and had a lot of health problems and vision issues. And when he was at, and this is not a bad, that I recall from the story, it wasn't a bad daycare center or anything like that, but they let a child who couldn't necessarily see and, you know, whatever, like, they left him unattended for a minute or whatever with a whistle around his neck. He went down a slide or something, and the whistle got caught.
Oh, no.
And when they found him...
Oh, like, God.
There was blood coming out of places, and...
Yeah.
It was a bad situation.
I don't even know.
And this wasn't even, like, a bad place, necessarily. Mm-hmm. If you turn around for 1 second, like, it's just crazy what can happen.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry to freak everybody out there.
No, I mean, it is important. It's very important, especially when you are responsible for the well-being of somebody vulnerable, whether that somebody is, you know, disabled or another species or a small person who cannot communicate very well.
Yeah.
Directly. You know, whatever, just who is much smaller than their caretaker, all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think... Hey, the more critical you can be and, like, think of all the possibilities, then
yeah,
the better. That's my philosophy anyway. So
should we get into our controversial subject right now?
The eating part?
The eating part?
What's the controversial subject?
Vaccinations.
Oh, oh yeah, okay. Well,
what's the eating? What's
oh, you'll see.
Eating?
Everybody will see about
oh,
that.
Okay.
I can't get my mind off that. But first, okay. We're going to talk about vaccinations.
Yes. So, Harley, is not a doctor, but
no.
Just like most suitable parents, I would say, probably does a lot of research on things. And
a little bit more than I need to, I think.
And through her research has elected not to do vaccinations.
Yep.
Okay, you go ahead and talk about that.
Okay. Yep. Well, my daughter hasn't been, she has all her vaccinations up until she was 18 months old. And then we decided to not do any more of her boosters. Partially because we have a family history of allergic reactions. Also I have a, kind of a chronic fatigue immune system thing that there's some new research coming out that says my daughter can have a susceptibility to it, and part of vaccination exposure to heavy metals can cause it to come out in her that mine might be a vaccine reaction. So we've just decided to play it safe and not do it anymore.
That's an interesting choice of words when most people think vaccinations are playing it safe.
Yeah, it's, and you know what, and anytime I talk about this, I always tell people that it's really up to them as a parent, and they really have to go with what they feel is comfortable. Do your research, and if you come to a different conclusion than me, then that's okay.
But vaccinations aren't technically vegan, are they?
No, they are not.
Yep.
So that's,
they have egg embryos in them?
Yep, and there's also, let's see here, I didn't bring my list, but there's been in some guinea pig blood, I think bovine. What else was in there? Well, there's a lot of them are grown in egg things.
Like incubator things?
Mm-hmm.
Or?
And then also have, you know, fetal pig and fetal chick. And then also aborted human fetal.
What?
Ha! Huh. Wow.
Yeah. Which really surprises me.
That's awesome!
Yeah, that pro-lifers
don't. So when
don't.
You get vaccinations, you're getting aborted fetal stuff?
Yep, some of
that's
them.
That's so awesome!
I'm not sure if it's all of them, but I know that a a good majority of them have.
Okay, not awesome. So. I don't know. I think that's awesome. I say ha-ha to you.
Maybe.
Not you, but.
For people who, maybe when you get an abortion, you're not really killing a life, you're saving a life through vaccinations.
Oh, so controversial on MBR.
So, that's like double controversy. Mm-hmm. Dun, 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 dun.
But that would only be if you were having a DNC abortion, because if you had a pill abortion at home, then they wouldn't be not. Getting any of that.
Unless you dropped it off. And you're like, hey.
Here's my abortion.
Yeah, put it to good use.
That do people actually do that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
You could, like, use it for fertilizer in your plants or something, I guess.
True that. I think we just lost all of our listeners. All of them. Yeah. Okay. So we try not to use like it when we talk about animals, and you're talking about like a fetus as an it that you can compost to your garden with.
Yeah. Veganism. I mean, you want to figure out how to divide vegans, you start talking about abortion. Yeah. Seriously. So, I mean, there are different people fall on different sides of that argument, and
For people that are finding themselves possibly offended by the subject matter in this, first of all, I'm sorry that we've offended your delicate sensibilities, and I'm not saying that in a sarcastic way, but I think that there are very few people that are really honest about what they feel about things, and so you get us, you like us or not, this is exactly who we are.
Yeah, that's what you get.
That's what you get. Well, can I ask you one more question?
Yeah.
About vaccinations? So, don't you need to be vaccinated to go to school?
You don't. In the state of Minnesota, we have 2 exemptions. I think it used to be 3, but the religious exemption, I think, got taken out. You can have a medical reason. Medical exemptions, I've heard, are incredibly hard to get. I tried to get one based on my concerns, and I was told no. But we also have the lovely philosophical exemption, where basically you just sign the line that says, I don't agree to this. You get it notarized.
What?
And your kid can go. This is for public school, and I think most private schools. I believe there are some private schools, as long as they're not getting any funding from the state government, can make their own decisions, I think, to refuse unvaccinated students. But all public schools, you can still have your child go
there.
What
about college?
Colleges, I believe so as well. I wouldn't quote me on that one, though.
Because I know my husband needed to, like, as a 30, well, at that time, I don't know, 27, 28-year-old man, had to go back and get his, like, childhood vaccination records to get into the University of Minnesota.
I think you can still use exemptions for college, I think.
Huh.
But it's not really an exemption, just he had a hard time finding them. Yeah. But.
Well, I don't get flu shots.
I don't either.
Because they're not vegan.
Right.
I don't really know anybody that does.
And why would you even bother getting a flu shot? Because, what if
I had the swine flu. And then, when it was all just totally crazy. And I was so angry about that.
Yeah.
You know, like, talk about me being super sick for 3 weeks because other people want to eat animals.
Right.
I was so pissed. Like, this is... Yeah, anyway.
And I imagine that a lot of people, though, don't necessarily know what you mean by that. That swine flu doesn't directly... It didn't directly come from someone eating a pig in that kind of... I don't know. Like, you just kind of wrap that up really neatly, and it's not... It's markedly more complicated than that.
Oh, yeah, no. It's conditions, it's not or like, crowded
it's
conditions.
It's not like you got, like, spongiform encephalopathy. So, that's how you say it. Or it's not like you got E. coli. It's not like foodborne illness.
No, it's not food. And they made a big deal about that, and that's why they called it the H1N1 virus.
Right.
Because the...
I'm sure pork sales were down.
Yeah, the pork growers of America decided that, they were worried that... And they did. I mean, pig flesh sales dropped for a while because of the swine flu idea, that terminology.
But that is where it came from.
But it did come from the terrible, like, crowded, dirty conditions that those animals are kept in with their weakened immune systems. And
yeah. And then you get these things like where they're kind of like crossbreeding, like avian flu. Also, mm-hmm. It doesn't come from eating birds, but it does still, like, these zoonotic diseases that we get do come from animals.
Yep.
So when you think, like, it, and that is why it is really frustrating when vegans get, like, E. coli and things like that, because the only way that plant foods get contaminated is from animal mm-hmm. fecal matter. So,
which they spray on huge fields as
like
fertilizer.
Humans can't get plant-based diseases, like, or issues. Like, we can't get aphids.
Yeah.
Really. You might have some in your house from on your
we
plants, but you're not going to get
root rot.
Right, exactly. But we can get these zoonotic diseases that transfer from other animals, even if we personally aren't in close contact with them, just because of what other people are eating and cleanliness, not hand washing, crap like that.
Yeah, I was pretty mad. So,
have you gotten any crap about the vaccine stuff?
We, I don't really talk about it with a lot of people. A lot of people that I'm close to, though, know that I will research things from every point of view before I make a decision, and they know pretty much that I'm not just jumping into something. And that's one other thing too that I like to say about if you're choosing not to vaccinate your children, be smart about it. Research, find out about the vaccine preventable diseases, like what their symptoms are. Certain vaccines, if another child that you take your child over to their house for play date, they've just had a vaccination, they can shed the virus sometimes, depending on what it is, and your kid can end up getting it and getting sick. So just be smart. And nutrition, and breastfeed.
Okay, I had one other thought about vaccinations. Oh, I was also going to say that you made really good points about them, but also I think it's important to remember, especially with this one less, the HPV vaccination that they have passed for females and now are trying to pass to have boys take mm-hmm. get this vaccination as well. So dangerous. So many people are getting sick and dying from vaccinations. And that could easily happen with any vaccination that you get.
Oh, yeah.
You certainly could get sick and die from a vaccination. Yeah. So it's not just the ethics of vaccinations. It's that people can get really, really sick from them.
You take a risk, and not all the time. I mean, our pediatrician is really good, but not all doctors will make sure you are well-informed before you decide to take that risk for your child. So.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's talk about placentas.
Yay!
Yum.
So, yeah. So we're not that different than chickens. So, all right, placenta encapsulation.
Well, when you were, okay, but when, before the episode, when we were talking about what we're going to talk about, and eating of the placenta was raised, I'm thinking, like, you've just given birth, there's a slimy kid, you're sweaty and exhausted, and you just reach down and kind of like, scarf it. And I'm just like, I just know that would not go over. And I'm like, well, do you eat the umbilical cord? That's disgusting.
Oh my gosh, I'm totally going to barf.
Yeah, that's what I was feeling like. So apparently it's not that bad. So,
I don't think that's quite what happens either, though.
Yeah. Well,
Harley, that's all you.
Okay, so I can't speak from personal experience about eating placenta or placenta encapsulation. It's something that I plan on doing this time.
Okay, let's tell people. Placenta encapsulation, if you don't know, is where your placenta is dried.
Yep.
You can either do it yourself if you know what you're doing, or pay somebody else to encapsulate your placenta in capsules so that you can take them.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps with postpartum, replenishes nutrients. Yep.
Make sure you get veg caps.
Yes.
Cellulose-based, mm-hmm. not gelatin-based.
Yes.
Not like making fruit roll-ups at home or something.
Oh,
like,
no.
Dehydrating?
Yeah.
Like,
no, the description I read online was very complicated, and you had to have a very specific type of, dehydrator, and everything had to be, clean. And
so you're just going to have someone else do that for you?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to attempt to do that to myself. No. But I have heard some birth stories of women who, shortly after their child was born, they were having a lot of issues with hemorrhaging, and their midwife kind of cut a little piece off the placenta, and they ate a piece of it, and it stopped the hemorrhaging. So I think it can be used in a quick pinch in an emergency as well, too. I don't know if they cooked it or if they just ate it raw. That point wasn't brought up, but yeah, I don't know if I'd be able to handle.
I wish you guys could see my face. I am, I am speechless.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often.
But I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, that's pretty, wow. Well, I think I totally lost what I was even going to say now.
And you even knew we were going to talk about this.
Yeah, well, really, I mean, what would compel somebody to eat their own placenta aside from, like, wanting to have their 2 days of YouTube fame? Can you imagine? That would have so many hits so quick.
Well, the main reasoning behind it is replenishing nutrients after birth. And the, you know, lowering your risks of hemorrhaging and blood loss, which is, I think, pretty much. Other people might have other reasons for it. I know some people like to do different things with placenta. They like to take prints, like dipping it in ink and then making a print.
Like make dream catchers or something.
Well, no, like they like on a piece of paper and then it like can be kept as a keepsake. Or taking
look at this. Taking it in my placenta.
Planting a tree. The baby, so it's
that's baby's cool. Tree. Yeah, that's cool. I can get behind that one.
Except for the part when you move houses, but I would like to say actually at Chicken Run Rescue in Minneapolis, when I went to visit there, they because eggs from a chicken that people eat are actually a chicken's menstruation, they were actually feeding the eggs back to the chickens because of how much energy they lose when they lay an egg, even though it's natural for them to lay eggs normally, just like it's natural for women to have a period, they lose a lot during that. And I imagine that could probably translate to people too when we get hormonal and whatever else. I don't have periods, so I don't know anything about that, but because I'm 500 and my vulva's exposed. So, yeah, they do that with chickens.
Wait, what?
I credit that to some guy that I used to know back in my early 20s who used to say, I'm 500, my vulva's exposed.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow, this episode is gross.
So, yeah, they feed chickens their eggs back. Awesome. Just like eating your own menstruation.
Yep.
I don't think anybody recommends doing that, though.
Elliot, are you okay?
I'm good.
Periods, placentas.
I'm 2 fingers of bourbon in, yeah.
We have to keep Elliot boozed up to deal with our hijinks.
To deal with us, yes. Okay. All right. So can we talk about products now, do the product review?
Does it involve
periods or placentas? Is this okay? Can we move on from this topic now?
We can move on. Yes.
I don't know how much more our listeners can take of this. I don't know how much more I can take of this. So let's talk about products, reviews. And this also has to do with pregnancy. It will stick with our theme. So we're talking about prenatal vitamins. Holly, can you review them?
I have found one brand of prenatal vitamins that I like, don't have to deal with. Is the vitamin D in there from lanolin, or what is it from? Vegetarian, but it still says vitamin D3 from lanolin. And they're one a day, and they're not horse pills, and they're easy on the stomach. So. But
you take one pill a day, or they're the brand one a day?
You take one pill a day. No, they're not the brand one a day.
Okay, so let me clear.
No. The Rainbow Light one a day prenatal vitamins, and they have this nifty little phrase in the front that says Vegan Guard, so they're... They're definitely vegan, and they're tested to make sure that they're vegan. Yeah.
No, but our listener that brought up that we should have this episode, even though we were already planning to, do you want to try her name again from Germany? Charlotte?
Oh, no. Okay. Sorry. I can't do that just on a whim. I have to practice that.
Okay. Well, I know that that pregnancy things... that bother you or cravings that you have are personal and individual. But she said that she had a huge problem with the smell of vegan vitamins. So do you find these to be smelly?
No, I didn't find them to be smelly. They actually kind of smell a little bit like rose hips. There's an herbal blend in these ones as well, too. There's some ginger and some other things that are supposed to kind of help ease morning sickness. And I think there's some red raspberry leaf in there, too. So they don't smell stinky or kind of vitamin-y. Or, no, they don't. They actually, they smell quite pleasant.
You can plug your nose and take it and then chase it with silk chocolate soy milk.
Yeah.
That's problem solved.
Always an option.
So, okay.
And you were talking about earlier, though, pre-show, you were talking about a different product? Were you going to get to that?
Oh, yeah, papaya enzymes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can speak to those, too.
Fine. Both of you speak to it. I'm the only one that can't.
Papaya enzymes, they're like these tablets that are kind of shaped like Tums, basically. And I think they kind of work like Tums, too, except they're natural. So you chew them up. They're a little bit chalky, kind of, and they help with calming the stomach and digestion and heartburn.
Yeah, big time.
And that's not just for pregnant ladies. That is for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So those are, and they're, I don't know, they're in a roll, kind of like, what is that, vitamin C?
Oh, yeah, like those little You things. Can get them in a, I have some in the roll that I carry around in my purse, and then I have some at home. They're in little, like, chewable tablet forms in a little
bottle.
Yep. So papaya enzymes, just for, you know, to have around in case you get an upset tum, then that's a good thing to try out.
Yeah. They're good for, I know sometimes Tums and other antacids can be a concern during pregnancy as well, too, about using those too often. And you don't have to worry about the papaya enzymes doing any harm.
Right. And I think Tums is probably manufactured by some icky company that tests on animals, too, probably. So,
I'm sure.
You know, papaya enzymes. Woohoo!
They sound tasty.
Mm, they are.
I like papaya. I bet their enzymes are terrific.
They taste kind of like Pez, I think.
Are they like papaya?
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to think of it.
Are they like papaya placentas?
Well, it's like concentrated papaya enzyme. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just trying to keep our gross factor up for everyone.
Oh, all right. Well, here, how about we talk about... Well, we're coming into more gross, actually, because of the Green Challenge.
It's time for the Green Challenge.
Green Challenge.
Green Challenge.
There's no gloves. There's no swords.
No white suits.
Uh-uh. It's just Green Challenge.
You're just doing the earth a solid.
So let's talk about the Green Challenge.
All right.
Well, first, I mean, the cloth diapers, right? Obvious.
Right.
So I know... Lots of people are parents. I know most of us have worn diapers at some point, but I still think it's gross.
Yeah,
I mean, parents just get over it.
Yeah, I don't... Poop is gross.
I don't think they're as gross as disposables. I think...
Yeah, but poop is still gross.
Yeah, but you know what? When you're using cloth, you can kind of just empty everything out into the toilet and it goes away. The disposables, you have to, like, wrap them up and you put the little gross wipes in there and you have to shove them in one of those bins and then... I swear, no matter how smell-proof those things are, you can smell it from anywhere in the house, and then to empty it out, and it's like the diaper sausage weird thing.
Ah.
They're all in their individual bags. And
diaper sausage.
Well, that's what it looks like, because it twists them up, so they're all like in their own little individual plastic casing. And
yuck.
Wow, the earth is just sobbing for all of those.
So
cloth diapers...
I assume you're planning to do cloth diapers?
Yeah, I do.
Are you going to just do them at home, or are you getting a service?
I'm just going to do them at home. Some of the research that I found, while services can be really nice, that depending on which ones you use, they can either be a little bit expensive or can use some chemical cleaners that I didn't feel comfortable with. I think depending on what stage you are in your diapering... career, but newborns can go through an awful lot in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it might be easier to do a service, I don't know, at the end, or do a service at the beginning and have people help you out paying for it, like as part of your shower gift, or just wash them at home. It's not that hard. It's not that gross.
I know what you're getting for a baby shower gift.
And it doesn't, a lot of people, I think, worry about cloth diapering, about if it's going to up your water bill. The amount of laundry that you're doing, and we found that it really didn't make a difference.
All right. Well, if you were so inclined to do a service instead of washing them at home, there is a local company called Do Good Diaper Service. do good diaper service. And I see their trucks all the time. I happen to know where the guy lives because I see his truck out in front of his house. but I know that they
You're
have
a diaper stalker.
Well, I have to drive past it to get to, I think, Nouveau. But I know that their delivery range is pretty far. And which doesn't really help if you don't live in the Midwest, specifically in the Twin Cities. But I'm sure that there are other diaper
services.
Oh, yeah,
they're all over, I'm sure.
But this diaper service is reasonably priced for people that have disposable income to spend on that, I suppose. It seems reasonable to me, but I don't have children. So their solution that they clean with is dye-free, perfume-free, and phosphate-free. And their water is heated to 160 degrees Fahrenheit to make sure everything's sanitized. And they test all of their diapers daily to make sure that they are sanitized, 100% sanitized, pH balanced, and have maximum absorption rates. They are sent to a lab to be independently tested for residue, absorbency, bacteria, and all that. So that's pretty rad, I'd say, if you're worried about, like, germs from other people.
Yeah.
That's really, doesn't seem to be a concern.
No, I was concerned at first when I started washing them at home, but I actually found we didn't have any issues. I know sometimes when you do them at home, you can get, like, I think babies can get sometimes yeast infections or diaper rashes if the diapers aren't clean enough, or they can still kind of smell a little bit. But we actually did, every once in a while we do a vinegar rinse with them, and we actually hung them out in the sunshine. It's actually one of the best ways to bleach stains out of your cloth diapers, too. Got them pretty
good
clean.
To know. Well, yeah. We are just about out of sun in Minnesota for the rest of the year.
Yeah, true.
And also, cloth diapers aren't just kind of boring anymore.
They're so cute.
They come in different colors and stuff.
Mm-hmm. We use two different. We use Fuzzy Buns and then Bum Genius.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. And they're pocket diaper systems. So you have, like, the colored outside, and then you have little, like, strips of the absorbent stuff that goes inside. And you can kind of decide how much you want in there. And then you can close them up either with Velcro. I don't recommend Velcro because it starts to get pilly and starts to fall out over time. And then sticks to everything in your wash. But they also have some that have snaps. They're really cool. And then they last from newborn all the way up till, I think, I don't know what their weight limit is. But we used them up until Lily was, like, 2.5 when she stopped using diapers.
Wow.
Yep. All right. And they give them what kind of butts?
They give them little ghetto booties. It's really cute.
poofy
baby butts. Oh. And they look cute. And they're bright colors, and they're usually named after vegetables and fruits. The colors are.
All right. Nice. All right.
It takes kind of some of the yuck out of poop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I suppose.
It makes poop cuter.
Mm.
Reusable cloth wipes. Are also really awesome, too. Yeah. It's hard to use disposable wipes with cloth diapers, because then you're still throwing away gross wipes that usually have a lot of chemicals and stuff put in them. But Peapods, a store in St. Paul, an awesome kids store, sells really great little, they look like little square washcloths, and a lot of them made out of bamboo. And they're reusable wipes. You just use a little bit of water.
Neat.
And wipe them down, and they can go through the wash with the diapers.
And they're really soft.
Oh, yeah. They're very soft. We have saved some of them, and we use them for little washcloths and stuff now.
Huh. Well, if ever I have children, I'm calling you.
Yay.
As long as I can figure out what your name is.
The only other... Well, we've also got one more tip Holly has that's related to... It can fit into the green challenge, so you actually get two. And this one is... Using a cloth for postpartum bleeding?
Yep. Using cloth postpartum pads.
Okay. So...
Instead of, like, normal pads?
Instead of the... Well, I think for... At first, after you have a lot of postpartum bleeding or lochia, which is kind of everything shedding, the buildup of the uterine lining over 9 months... It can be kind of heavy.
Oh my god, you need to see Dallas's face.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Keep talking. Okay.
Dallas just passed out.
Yeah. It can be kind of heavy at first, and I know a lot of time at the hospital they give you these really disgusting giant things that look like part of a diaper cut off.
Can I get another drink over here?
I know. God.
Dallas is going to start drinking.
Yeah, I know. Gosh.
Wow. And that's, well, I mean, pads are pretty much all you can use for the first couple weeks. You can't use tampons or anything like that, so.
Because they fall out?
They're not good. You're not supposed to be putting anything in there after.
Oh, after man. Baby.
See, I don't know if they'd fall out. They might. But.
I don't know that I would ever have a vaginal birth. Ever. It just doesn't sound good to me.
It doesn't sound good to me.
It's really not that scary.
Yeah, everything that you said sounds scary. Every single thing sounds
really?
Scary.
Yeah, I think if you don't have that kind of gene.
I'm hiring you to deal with diaper changing. Like.
Well, no, if you breastfeed your baby, the poop won't stink.
I'm not breastfeeding.
If you breastfeed your baby, the poop won't stink.
But I'm not breastfeeding.
You could have another person
what?
Do it.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Well,
I don't even want to have a vaginal birth.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
All of it is terrifying to me. All of it. All of it.
Yeah. Well, then. You can adopt.
I know.
And just skip all that stuff.
Oh,
you know?
You'll feel so different when you're pregnant. Blah, blah, blah. I'm sure that I will feel differently about it when I'm pregnant. If.
How condescending is that, though? I'm sorry. As somebody, as a woman who will not be having children, I find it extremely condescending when people say, oh, you'll change your mind.
Yeah,
it's like,
it
you know what? Screw you. I know what I want and what I don't want. Not you.
Yeah.
Just, that's not happening. How dare you?
Yeah.
How condescending and rude.
Rude.
Yeah.
It's rude.
Back off. Back off me. Yeah, that's, I don't know. I just think that's mean.
So there's our PSA.
Yes.
Don't tell other people what they will or will not want to do. Even if they change their minds and you're right, mind your business.
Mm. Yes.
And don't say, I told you so. No one likes those people.
No. I told you. Nobody likes those people. I told you.
All right. So now that we've gotten past all that, and I think we've maybe reached the end of the things we know are going to be kind of icky.
Or, yeah.
You know,
everything else is completely pleasant.
And again, like, I don't mean to stigmatize any of this stuff either. Like, I'm all for natural whatever. Like, I know that a lot of people think that a lot of people kind of want a disposable life because they don't want to deal with things that they think are gross. So I just have to say, that's just what I think is icky. I do a lot of, I mean, like, I must do things that other people don't do because they would think it would be disgusting. Something.
Like,
I don't know what.
Using...
Like, oh, there's people who have children who say, I could never have a dog. I wouldn't want to pick up their poop.
Huh.
Like, are you serious? Really? Or I can't have a cat. They poop in the house. Like, okay, well.
You poop in the house.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, well, you know, that doesn't bother me.
Well,
dog vomit doesn't bother me.
Per our very first episode, wasn't that our first episode when you were talking about giving up paper towels?
Yep.
And so that would be gross to me, cleaning up cat and dog vomit.
With rags?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But I would rather do that than change diapers.
Or use paper towels.
Or use paper towels, because it's important, you know? So, yeah, I mean, all the rest of it, I'm not trying to shame anybody or say that the body
shame.
Is icky. I'm just saying
shame.
That this particular topic just makes my skin crawl. And that's like, seriously, I'm kind of even phobic of pregnant women. So,
aww.
I know. Yeah, it's okay. This is fine. She's not showing too much
and
all that. But seriously, when I used to be at the gym or something and a pregnant woman would come into the, like, group shower, whatever, and I would just leave. Like,
you have
I
group
can't.
Showers in your gym?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was your gym in a high school?
No. No, it's in Uptown.
Oh.
It's a YWCA. But anyway, like, that would just, I just can't look at that. I'm like, you're gonna split open and everything's gonna fall out on the tile, and I just can't handle
what?
It.
It does get kind of, yeah, other.
Yeah, there was
other
this pregnant woman.
Pregnant bellies can freak me out sometimes.
Oh my God. There was this woman yesterday. We were at the farmer's market, and she was just poking out there, and then even had a belly button at the end and everything. And I'm just like, oh my God. Oh my gosh. I had to get away because that freaks me out.
That's a little
strange. And then there are people who like want to come up and like touch the belly and everything. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, how rude, first of all, just kind of like my body is not public property because I'm pregnant. So I think that's rude as well. But I don't know. I don't want to touch that. That's just because it scares me, I think.
Touch your belly.
No.
It's just mostly, it looks almost like I've just eaten way too much. It could just be a food baby.
Yeah, it's all right.
Touch it, Dallas.
No.
Touch your belly.
No. The other thing, too, we'll see, Holly, if I hold your baby. I don't know.
Oh, because yeah. Your baby?
I'm sure Ryan will. But one, I don't know. I think I had to hold one, a baby, maybe like 7 years ago, 6 years ago. I had to. It was like a family thing. But, and I, you know, they were passing the kid around and I had to pass the kid. So, but then I had some friends who had a baby and I was like, okay, I think I can do it. I was like psyching myself up that I'm going to hold this baby. Went over to visit them. Nope, not holding the baby. I can't hold the baby. They freak me out too. They scare me.
They're like, very tiny and floppy and it's, I was afraid to hold Lily the first time.
Not
I'm
because
afraid
I'm
to
gonna,
hold my next one.
Like I'm not because I'm, not because I think I'm going to hurt them. Like, I know that wouldn't happen, but just, like, I don't know what to do with that. And what if they spit up? And what if they start crying? You know, like, I mean, I can always pass them to somebody. The good news is there are so many people that love to hold babies. It's totally fine. Like, they just can't wait to get the babies. So usually I don't have a problem.
I don't but love I wouldn't to hold babies. I just like babies of people that I like.
Yeah. I am not a... But, you
but
know,
I'm
like,
going to be at your birth.
Yeah, you are.
Yay.
I'm okay with other people's business. I, just for me personally, do not want to deal with vaginal birth things. But I am all for other people doing that.
I think it's amazing. I mean, I think it's quite the phenomenon. I think that's...
It is. It's the latest trend.
Well, no, not... I mean, I just think that it's pretty incredible that... Women can do that, you know, or that a body can do that. That's
or
pretty incredible.
Not incredible at all because all mammals have done that since the dawn of time.
Yeah, but well, I mean, it is considering how terrified you are of the idea. Like,
I'm not surprised my body can do it. I'm sure that my body's perfectly capable. I don't want to.
Yeah, but still,
I'm probably gonna have to stop my yogic Buddha studies if I ever decide to have children. So then I don't. Wouldn't feel compelled to do more natural things, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I could see that getting in the way of me currently not wanting to.
Mm. So I feel like hospital is much more scary, especially if you're worried about the
Yeah, because they force you into stuff.
People being up in there and bright lights and control be take it away. Because not all hospitals are like that, but that's
my
experience.
I don't think any doula or midwife is going to come and give me a C-section.
True.
I'm not going to perform surgery in my living room.
You can't do those at home.
No, not so much. Okay, we are just rambling at this point. Do we have anything else that we really want to say about this topic?
No, I'll let it lie.
I do want to say that we hope to have our friend Al on soon to talk about...
Vegan parenting, like when they're older.
Piece of it, yep. And
when they can talk and have their own ideas.
Yeah, and how
That's
do...
That's the fun part.
How... To instill vegan ethics in a non-vegan world to children. Which I'm sure you could talk about also, but...
But we used you for this because Al hasn't been pregnant.
No, he's... No, Al is not pregnant.
He hasn't.
No, he hasn't. So, should we get in some hellos and shout-outs and all that good stuff?
Sure.
Okay. So, the first person that I wanted to say hi to is Liz D. She is a new fan of ours. And she said, I just discovered Midwest Vegan Radio yesterday. This wasn't yesterday, but this was when I printed this. Anyway.
It's yesterday forever. Whenever you're listening to this,
it was yesterday.
Liz discovered us yesterday.
Yes. And I'd like to send a huge thank you for existing. I love the show. We love you for loving our show.
Woohoo!
So, hi, Liz. And we also wanted to say hello to Shannon Carmen. She sent us an email. And she liked episode 13, and was that the one we talked about veganese?
Yep.
Okay. So, and that was also the one where we talked about commenting on stuff. And so her email says, recently I decided to take a look at what and how I commented on articles and online and came to this conclusion. If what I'm saying is a complaint without thought of a solution, if it is negative, or if it's hateful, I don't post. I also refrain from commenting when the only thing that's going to come out is, I'm not going to say this, F you, F this, F all y'all. I kind of just like to say that sometimes to people in general. That's me, Ryan, saying that, not her. I am trying, not me, her, emphasis on trying to be aggressively positive so that when I need to post something important, such as farming legislature initiatives or animal cruelty issues, my non-vegan, non-animal rights friends take notice. We'll see how long I can keep this up. And so she also had a comment about veganaise when I was asking people what their secret veganaise recipes were. And she said veganaise and spicy brown mustard. So, like, on thick-cut fries. I don't know. That sounds pretty awesome.
There was something about breading them and breadcrumbs and then baking them.
And baking them. Yeah, that sounds wicked good.
It does sound good.
Yeah.
We also have... we've got something from Tiff. And Tiff is in Illinois.
Tiff is our unofficial Illinois correspondent.
Right.
If that doesn't mean anything to you, go back and listen many episodes ago.
So she's got an event that she wanted us to mention. At the Unitarian Church of Hinsdale, they are holding a multi-species encounter experience weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds fancy.
Mm-hmm.
It's on September 23rd is when it kicks off. There'll be a vegan potluck dinner and a screening of the film Ashes and Snow. I've heard about this movie, but I haven't seen it
before. I've never heard of it.
I'm really interested to see it. It's supposed to be, like, cinematically beautiful, I think.
Oh. I've seen the photos. They're really, really beautiful.
Yeah. So, and then on September 24th at 10 a.m., there'll be an all-day workshop on compassionate communication in animal rights activism, which includes an encounter with therapy dogs. On September 25th, the weekend concludes with a blessing of the animal service, followed by a yappy hour where animals and their people can socialize. They're all the events are free. But they do encourage and accept donations to, Unitarian Universalist Animal Ministry, and details are available at hinsdaleunitarian.org. That's hinsdaleunitarian.org. So, actually, and when I was looking up what is this animal ministry thing, I Googled it and then found out, whoa, they just changed the name of this old group that I used to be vice president of called Unitarian...
What?
I know.
That's crazy.
Unitarian Universalists for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Good call on the name change, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. UFETA is what we were.
Yeah.
I know. It's like PETA and feet. It's just not... it wasn't good. But it was actually really awesome because I got to serve... Gary Kowalski was the president, and he's written a couple of books, The Souls of Animals, The Bible According to Noah, and Goodbye, Friend. All fantastic books.
He's a great speaker, too.
Gary Kowalski? When did you hear him speak?
I've seen him on, like, YouTube things or online stuff.
Well, he's a minister, so, I mean, he's...
Oh, okay. Well,
that's what he does.
He
gets up and he tells stories and speaks in front of people. So,
so there's that.
Such an awesome guy. Like, when I met him and he was talking to me about being, about how a spider was building a web in the doorway of his garage and how he was, you know, the web was getting bigger and every day he'd have to stoop a little lower to get under the web so he wouldn't break the web of the spider.
Like,
and he's, you know, I was like, yep, you're my kind of guy.
That's so
I like
cool.
you. I think we're going to be good together. So, so I think that's basically what that group does is, Unitarian Universalists, it's a religion where basically you don't have to believe in God to be part of this religion. And it's like people have their own independent search for truth and meaning is kind of the basic line. But they have some principles that that unite them, essentially. And one of the principles, the seventh one, is respecting the interdependent web of which we are a part.
Mm-hmm.
Which, duh,
right,
means we... freaking respect other species, right? Like, we respect all kinds of other species and plants and the earth and ecosystems and all that. But you know, Unitarians, just like every other religion, like to pick and choose what is included in their, in the things that they say that they believe. So, Unitarian Universalist Animal Ministry, their purpose is essentially to help push that denomination's commitment, you know, that they say they've made, and actually have them reflect that in their actions and in their, you know, in their communities. So I think it's pretty cool.
Speaking of religion,
mm-hmm.
and I want to get back to one more thing that Tiff mentioned. I just want to say I'm kind of having a struggle right now. I am deep into a challenge that I'm doing at Moksha Yoga Minneapolis. I have done 58 yoga classes in 52 days. And that is, and I'm 3 days into their 30-day challenge. So I've got another 27 days coming up, and I think I'm going to just try for 100. And then maybe further than that. One thing that I do struggle with, though, is that yoga, and the owners of Moksha are vegan, so that's awesome. But yoga isn't just about going to a studio and doing some postures. There's a mindfulness component to it, a spirituality, whatever that may be. But kind of one of the guiding principles is ahimsa, which means non-harming. And mm-hmm. so I'm kind of having a hard time with people who I respect very much that are yoga professionals that aren't vegan. I'm having a really hard time with that. So I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
Because it's true, and that's how I feel. Because not because I don't respect them. I think that they're amazing, beautiful people. But I just... I don't understand how they incorporate animal suffering, like how they rationalize animal suffering with this ahimsa. I don't get it. But that's like, I don't know, that's like life. I mean, people claim to be compassionate all over the place, and in general they are, and then this is just this one piece that they just...
Yeah. It's just that it's such an easy one to fix.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really easy one to take care of.
Yeah.
So,
and we will talk at length about religion in a different episode.
Yep.
But last thing from Tiff that she wanted to mention was the November 5th Chicago Vegan Mania, which we are not planning to go to, unfortunately. But you should probably know that there is a...
That's happening.
Vegan Mania in Chicago on November 5th.
So check it out.
And the very last person that I want to say hello to is Allison Dano Jacobson, who we actually know from Minneapolis. She was here for a while. I don't know where she was before I met her, if she's been here the whole time, but her and her husband moved to California, jerks, and I see all about their fabulous travels on Facebook, and it makes me sad. Anyway, Allison, want to say hi. I'd like to say what up to all my APRL friends in SoCal, as well as my friends back in MN. Miss you guys. So hopefully that includes us, Allison. Hopefully you miss us. We miss you. So that's all I have.
All right.
Do you have anything else?
No.
Holly? Harley, whatever the F your name is.
Nope.
Elliot, nope. How about you?
I'm good.
You're right. Out of your booze, so it must mean the episode needs to end.
The well is dry.
Yeah. Can I say one thing?
You can say whatever you want.
Because I know Lily's going to want to listen to this.
Hi, Lily!
Yeah. Happy first day of preschool!
Yay! Do you want to say hi to your husband, too?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan, you hi, crazy Ryan. Cat gentleman.
Aww. Yes.
I think Ryan's hilarious because he loves cats so much, and it's kind of, you know, if there was a male version of a crazy cat lady, I think he would be.
Oh yeah,
he would be it.
Also, your husband is so awesome and adorable.
Yeah,
he is,
and he's
he loves
so
you
good
so
you.
Much.
Sorry
it's
for
just adorable.
You,
oh my gosh, you're so lucky.
Yes,
all right. I like him.
So that's it.
All right. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.